Okay, we're ready to start. Kav Dalet Amud Aleph. We're going to start again from the Gemara. Hashta de Amrit, which is a Taisis Ay. Go across, go down two lines. Hashta de Amrit, Krabba Godlitsin. Avram, can I trouble you to close the curtain? Hashta de Amrit, Krabba Godlitsin. Now that we're saying that the Pasuk is saying V'hoya b'char means that the oldest brother should do Yibum. Eime b'char l'yabim, Pasuk loy l'yabim. We did this Gemara last time, but I want to do it again so we can finish it the same way better. Maybe the mitzvah is only on the b'char.
Where are you starting from?
Again, Taisis Ay, go across from Taisis Ay, go two down line. Down, it says Hashta. Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. Hashta the Amrit Krabba Godlitsin. Now that you're saying that V'hoya b'char is not referring to the child born, but rather referring to the oldest brother, so why don't we say that the mitzvah is only on a b'char, and a younger brother should not have a mitzvah of Yibum? Emphat the Gemara, Imkain, Eishas Akim Shalayim B'Lamad, Demit Rachmana Lamali. Then I wouldn't need an exclusion of Eishas Akim Shalayim B'Lamad, which means a brother born after his older brother died, if the mitzvah is only on the oldest brother. Well, he's obviously now the oldest brother if he was born after his older brother died. Rashi. Zakt Rashi, Eime B'chor, Davke Kamakro, Abba Pashit Leili Abim. A younger brother should not have a mitzvah of Yibam Nagamri. Bein Ike B'chor, Bein Leka B'chor, whether there is or isn't a B'chor. Im Kain, the Pashit Labar Yibamu, Lamad Li Demir Rachmana Eish Asachim Shalai Bei Lamad. Why did the Torah exclude Eishes Achav Shalai Berlamai? Typically, from the law of Bechor Husa. Why don't you just say he's not a Bechor? He was born after his brother died. It's a raya that the mitzvah of Yibam applies to younger brothers as well. Back to the Gemara. Parakra Bechor, Acha, Zerv Acha asked. Ve'eme Lemutet Bechor De'ima. Maybe Eishes Achav Shalai Berlamai is when he is the Bechor of his mother, meaning he's a paternal brother, but he's also a Bechor of his mother, meaning his father had two wives. He is the oldest of this second wife. He is a paternal brother, so I would think this is a mitzvah of Yibum, because he does classify for the word Bechor. And since he classifies this for the word Bechor, maybe the Torah is trying to say that since he's an Eishes Achav Shahai Lahay by Lamai, even though he's a, meaning maybe the mitzvah is only by Bechor. But the Bechor could be one of two Bechors. Either the father's paternal Bechor or a maternal Bechor who's also a paternal brother. And the Torah is saying that maternal Bechor cannot be an Eishes Achav Shalai by Lamai. It has to be that he lived together with his oldest paternal brother. Maybe that's what the Torah meant when it excluded Eishes Achav Shalai by Lamai. Right? Dr. Gemara, who is Matis Amrit, can't say that. The Yibam Menachlus HaLeRachmana, Menachlus Menavilei Menayim. Yibam has to do with inheritance, and therefore that excludes any maternal relationship. Being a maternal Bechor would have no impact on Yibam, and therefore it can't be that Eishes Achav Shalai Bei Lamai is excluding when the brother born post his other brother's death is a maternal Bechor. Rashi. The Bechor to his mom. The Achav Me'aviv, and he's also a paternal brother. That's why we have to exclude him. The answer is, it's only the Bechor that would have an inheritance of Pishnayim, meaning a paternal Bechor, that would be Me'aviv. A maternal Bechor would make no impact. And since we had to exclude Eishes Achav Shalai Bei Lamai, Shmami Na Bechor Dekor Lav Davkel Gad La'achim. So obviously Bechor can't be Bechor, must mean oldest. Oldest available has the mitzvah. Back to Gemara. V'yema, ki ike Bechor Tizkai Mitzvah Yibum, ki leka Bechor, lo Tizkai Mitzvah Yibum. Maybe Bechor means Bechor. And there has to be a Bechor around. If there's a Bechor, then any brother can do Yibum, except an Eishes Achav Shalai Bei Lamai. So let's say, Reuben is around, Reuben and Shimon, and Shimon would die, and then Levi would be born. So the Torah says, since Reuben is alive, he can do a Yibum. Let's say Reuben, Shimon, Levi, I'm sorry. There's three brothers. Shimon dies. Then Yehuda is born. So Yehuda is an ancient Sakhar Shlehei Baylamai. He's excluded. But Levi can do Yibum, or Reuben can do Yibum, because Reuben is alive. But let's say Reuben is not alive. Reuben is the one that died. Maybe there's no mitzvah of Yibum. The Torah is saying, for the mitzvah of Yibum to kick in, there has to be an oldest brother. And then once there is an oldest brother, it doesn't have to be him that does Yibum, but he has to be around in the world. Sakrashi. Maybe the Torah does mean the oldest. And the Torah is not saying that the oldest has to do Yibum, but it's saying, if there's a Bechor around, then you can keep the mitzvah of Yibum. I'm the Bechor, I'm the Pashit. Either by a Bechor or by a Pashit. The Nav Kalam is the imitation of Sakhar Shlai by Lamai. We know that a younger brother can do Yibum from the fact that we have to exclude an Asha Sakhar Shlai by Lamai. If you lack a Bechor, and when there's no Bechor, like the Skyim, Tura the Garmim and a Pashit. And then maybe there's no mitzvah of Yibum at all. Dr. Gemara, Amr Kra Umeis Echad Mehem. Tyrus says one of the brothers die. Eli Askina the Mizbachar, Yamar Rachmana Liabim Kutten. Doesn't that include a case when the oldest brother died? It said Miss Echad Mehem. Correct the Gemara, who says? Vayim the Mizkutten, Yamar Rachmana Liabim Bachar. Maybe Echad Mehem means one of the younger brothers. Who said Echad Mehem has to include the oldest brother? Sakti Gemara. Again, remember that the Torah said that Eishes Hakhar B'Shayim by Lamai can't do Yibum. Means, right? And it says Ki Yeshu Achim, which means two brothers. Only two brothers. And the Torah is saying that the second brother is Lamai by Lamai, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. But if he was by Lamai, meaning we're answering that the Torah is not talking when there's multiple brothers. The Torah is talking about when there's two brothers. And it said one died. Now, if you're going to say it means that the Pasha died, there was only one alive. The other one is born later. Right? Kieshu Achim Yachdav is saying two brothers. And if it's not Yachdav, then there's no Yibum. That means, obviously, the Bechor must have died. And still, if not of the fact that he was Lohei by Lamai, there would be a mitzvah Yibum. So we see that the younger one can do Yibum, not only the older one. Rashi. Not Rashi. Only two were there. Is it only to also talking about that the Bechor died? And the younger brother does Yibum. That's the Gemara who says. Maybe it means the younger brother died. Right? The answer is Hamiyat Rachmana. When there are two brothers, Sev Miyat Aisha Sakhar Shlai by Lamai. It excludes a brother who's born after the death of the other brother. And there's only two brothers. And the second one is Lahai by Lamai. So obviously, Alba the Mizgadl. Must be that the older brother died. And the Torah says the reason the younger brother can't do Yibum is because he wasn't alive when his older brother was alive. Mashma, the Suleka, the Amudim is Glepel, Mashma. The Suleka, Bechor Kamban, it's supposed to say. But there's no Bechor, it still means a mitzvah of Yibum. If it would be higher by Lamai. Fine, so we've proven that the Torah is not only insisting on a Bechor. That we've proven. Again, the Torah talks about two brothers. The Torah said one of them died. The other one does Yibum. And the Torah says, but the other one has to be alive during the life of the first one. Mashma, that it's a younger brother. Because if not, if it's only the older brother, obviously he's going to be alive in the death of the younger brother. So the fact that the Torah excluded him is a raya that the Torah does not care that it be the oldest brother only. It can be any brother. Correct the Gemara. You're right. Maybe a younger brother can do Yibum if the oldest brother is not around. But Be'ikah Bechor, Kadim Katan Leizach. You've proven your point. You've proven that the mitzvah of Yibum is not limited to the older brother, oldest brother. But maybe, if there is an oldest brother, then the younger brother can't do Yibum. It has to be done by the oldest brother. Be'ikah Bechor, Kadim Katan Leizach. Dr. Gemara Amar Kro, and this answer answers all questions. Kiyeshu Achim Yachdav, Huksu Yeshivas Achim Zelazad. Kiyeshu Achim Yachdav means all brothers are equal in the mitzvah of Yibum. And the fact that the Torah said the brothers live together, it's saying all the brothers are equal in the mitzvah of Yibum as far as doing it, regardless if the oldest brother is there or not there. And that answers all the questions. That's how I know a younger one can do Yibum. I don't need to riot and make yourself a slave by Lomi anymore. The Torah is at Kiyesh Rachum Yachdav. The Torah is saying all brothers alive are all included in the same mitzvah.
How do you, use that
to learn something else? We'll have answers for that. That's one thing I never know is how the Gemara makes certain drushes and not other drushes. I don't know. The Yachdav is where we included Eishes Achim Shleib by Lama. But we're using it differently now. We're saying all brothers are equal in the midst of Yibum. And the answer is I don't.
How are we talking about more than one brother? Maybe it's just one brother.
Well, it says Eishu Achim Yachdav. All brothers are created equal.
No matter how many brothers
there are. Right. Rashi. Hey, Mom. Kilek of Bechor, can I trouble you, Baruch Moshe, for tissues? Thank you. Still have not mastered how to use masks without my glasses getting fogged up. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
The nose piece.
Tight?
Yeah, tighter.
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, and it never.
Look, I do it. Some of them was off the bottom.
Correctly, Rashi, Dr. Rashi. Emiki leke b'chor katam akatan zacha. No heli rabbi lili yabim pashat elami meitz echamem. The raya that a pashat can do yibum came from meitz echamem. Umiyat eishas hakum shloy b'lomai. Right? And from the fact that the Torah excluded eishas hakum shloy b'lomai, the mashma, the meitz b'chor. Lama rachman lili yabim pashat. Because we learned from there that the oldest one died, and still the Torah has a mitzvah yibum. Aba ikka b'chor lili yabim pashat. Hooks are compared, Shavim Liyibum. Okay, so therefore, because Yeshu Achim Yachdav says they're equal, but yet the Torah wrote for Hayabchor. So obviously the Torah is trying to say, everybody has the mitzvah, everybody can do the mitzvah, but a Bechor is a preference. That's the shot we're saying now. Because Yeshu Achim Yachdav told us they're all equal in the mitzvah, and again, Dr. Harris, your question is well taken, I don't have a good answer. But Yeshu Achim Yachdav is that everybody is equal in the midst of Yibum. Everybody is equal in the midst of Yibum. All right? Everybody is equal in the midst of Yibum. But Bahaya Bchor obviously is telling me the oldest brother has a preference. He has the first rights to it, first dibs. But if anybody else grabs it, it's fine. Track to Gemara. Fine. But that's only a Bchor. Maybe the first rights only go to Bechor. But if there's no Bechor, the second brother has no more right than the third brother.
When we say Bechor, we mean real Bechor.
That's what we want to say. The halacha says, as we will see, that it doesn't mean the real Bechor. It means the oldest brother available. We're asking, how do you know that? Lemaisa the Torah used the word Bechor. Maybe a Bechor has first dibs. No Bechor, they're all equal. How do I know? Alam Matan. Tani Abaye Kshishav. Right? Why did Abaye, the elder Abaye, say, Mitzvah begadol liyabim? Why hayatza? Hochen etz ochav akatan. We go to his younger brother. It's the older brother that has the mitzvah. Any older brother. And we work our way down. My ratza chazen etz gadol. Meaning the question now is, you're right. We've proven that the mitzvah of Yibim can be done by anybody. Period. That's been proven. But maybe the preference is only a Bechor. How do I know brother two has a preference over brother three? And brother three has a preference over brother four? And Abaye and Bryce have said that that's the way it works. Rashi. Ema. sorry, hooks, the hedragod, Eloi boy sharachim, nachzer olav v'kaifoi, the mitzvah ram yalei v'loi alacherim. Right, the mitzvah is on him, not an avikileka b'char, but ram yalei, it's mitzvah gadol tvei misharachav. Who says that the gadol has any preference or any right to the mitzvah more than other brothers? Now here's the diyek. Rashi says katan means, mashma, katan heimenu, younger than the oldest brother, the gadol misharachav. It's a katan doesn't mean the youngest, it means the next one. So we see that two has preference over three has preference over four. Where do you know that from? Right? Alma Madrina Nagat, the gadol kaitim. The matani kaitim, it's a gadol. Not from the fact that we go back to the oldest brother, they can remember my gadol b'char. If you can't answer that the word gadol means b'char, so Rashi is just pointing out, the question is not from the fact that it says chayzenei to gadol and not chayzenei to b'char. Because gadol can be interpreted as the oldest. But what bothers us is the word katan doesn't mean youngest, it means younger. And we always go to the younger brother. From there we learn out that there's a pecking order. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's how the Gemara darshens the words of Abaya, Hokhanei to Katan. I would have said Katan means any younger brother. But the Gemara is darshening, Katan means the younger next in line. And the question is, maybe there's no next in line. Oldest or all created equal? Abaya is saying oldest, next, next, next. How do we know that? Maybe it's only Bechor.
Amit told you, the first Amit says that it shows you a pecking order. If no one wanted to, we go back to the oldest. So we know there's a pecking order. That teach you pecking order?
No, because I could say oldest means Bechor. And if not of the word Hokhanei to Katan meaning the next one, I would say Hokhanei to Katan means any of the younger brothers. Meaning, if Yitzchak Margaret would be reading this Abayas Brisa, he would say, you go to the oldest, who doesn't want to do it, you throw it open to everybody else.
Once he...
But that's not what it says. But that's not what it means. But hello, I'm wrong. Rashi's saying Cotton does mean the next one in line.
That's what Abayas says.
Right. Therefore, it's Akasha. That's the Kasha. Because Abayas said that there's a pecking order.
I'm saying, so do you know a pecking order from before that?
No. That I saw, no. And for the Gemara. Now the Gemara says a Svara. Once, this is the Gemara Svara, and again, try my best, you know, but the old you said, if you don't really understand it, you can't explain it. So I will try my best. The Gemara's answer is, once you're not insisting about a Bechor doing it, it doesn't make sense that only a Bechor should have first rights. Bechor's rights come because he's older. Therefore, any older brother should get it. Because the reason to give it to the Bechor is because he's older. So logic says the Torah means older. Zok the Gemara. Can I just read the Gemara inside? And for the Gemara. To Bechor. Ma Bechor Becharasa Garmalai. His age is what gives it to him. Avgadl gidolase garmalai. Rashi doesn't say anything. This is how the Mepharshim explained it. How does Artsko explain this answer? Can you read me Artsko's?
What's the answer? What's the question?
Question is maybe the Bechor has a right, but no other older brother should have a right. Where do you learn now that you go by the second brother over the third brother and the third brother over the fourth brother?
Abik Shisha said that.
But where did he see it in the pasuk? That's the question. The pasuk says Bechor. Where did Abayi Kshisha get the right to say that you go by older to older to?
We're asking a question about
Abayi Kshisha, exactly.
He had a right,
sir. One second. It has to have a source in the pasuk. Everything we said has a source in the pasuk. We've been spending 10 minutes. We've been spending 22 minutes trying to figure out the source in the pasuk.
The problem isn't the problem is the brisa. The problem was what was the Gemara Shtikl Tera Yikah Bechor Lehenra Gadol. That's where the problem.
The problem is from the pasuk you proved. We asked the kasha. The Mishnah said Mitzvah Begadol Yavim. We asked maybe only the Gadol can do Yibum. Only the Bechor can do Yibum, right? We answered no. We proved that others can do Yibam as well.
Yes,
whatever way we blessed it. Right. Now, but maybe the Bechor is the only one with a preference. How does Abaya know? How does the Brisa know that every older brother has a preference? Where does he see it in the Pasuk? The Pasuk says Bechor. What's bothering you?
The Gemara answers. What was the question?
The question was, where did Abaya get it? Where did this Brisa get its halacha from? Where in the Pasuk do you see that the second brother has more right than the third brother?
He rings the Rizvah here. Gemara's answer is not based on an inference from the verse or anything. The verse implies that only the Bechor
is. Correct, which is.
Rather, the Gemara means that logic dictates.
That's what I said. That's what I told you. The shot I saw. Logic says, why would we give it to the Bechor? Because he's older. So any older brother gets it. Again, the Gemara is going to ask why they would say Bechor. But we're answering that once it's not uniquely Bechor's, once you've said that everybody can go ahead and do the mitzvah, so obviously Bechor has no preference here. No rights over anybody else because he's Bechor. Because if it would be Bechor, then nobody else should be able to jump ahead and do it. And since the Torah told us somebody else can jump ahead and do it, so obviously the Torah is giving preference. And logic says that preference is not dependent on being oldest, preference is dependent on being older.
Oh, yes, so it comes out now. We're at right now, when you go back, according to Abaye Shisha, would the Gadol get first crack?
Yes.
The Gadol would get first crack, right?
Correct. And then if he doesn't do it, the second one gets second crack.
Not like our Havamina to say, once the Gadol says, I don't want it, it just everyone else is equal.
Correct.
And that didn't do with. That's still nothing to do with
it.
There's a Bechor, not. That's nothing to do with it, right?
But we're trying to go into the word V'haya Bechor, right? We said Bechor means that the oldest should do Yibam.
Right.
Maybe it means the oldest should do Yibam, not the older.
Right.
And Abaye Shisha said the older does Yibam.
The older instead of who?
Oldest.
The oldest meaning
before? Yes. Maybe the Torah means the oldest gets first crack. How do I know that any older brother gets a preference over his younger brother? Even 2 over 3 and 3 over 4 and 4 over 5.
Oh, not the oldest of all of them.
Right. That we know. The question is, but Abaye Shisha said, you go in a pecking order. You go from 1 to 2 to 2 to 3 to 3 to 4. How do you know that? And the Gemara answers logically that once the Bechor doesn't have his own mitzvah more than anybody else, it's just a preference. Preference comes because of age. And therefore, once it's a preference because of age, 2 gets before 3.
Now
I wouldn't have said this answer
because I would have argued on it,
but that's what the Gemara said.
Is that going to explain why the word Bechor is written?
No. The Gemara is going to ask that question later. Why did the Torah say Gadol? Why did the Torah say the word Bechor? If it means older, why did the Torah use the word Bechor? That's going to be in the Gemara's Kasha coming up. You're saying logically that the Torah is not insisting on oldest. So once it's logical that it's not insisting on oldest, so why did the Torah use the word oldest? That's going to be the Gemara's Kasha. So don't use oldest, say older. Don't use the wrong word and then say it doesn't mean exactly what it says. So the Ema, but we're still stuck with the word Bechor. But Yeshua Achim Yachdim told us that all brothers are equal. But Bechor told us older one has preference. Older. So why did the Torah use Bechor? So maybe the Torah means something else. Kimiyab Bechor, Lishkol Nachla. Maybe when the oldest does it, he inherits his brother. Kimiyab Pashut, Voy Lishkol Nachla. But when the younger brother does it, he does not get the whole inheritance. Maybe the Torah is limiting. It says Yochum Hashem Achav, right? Maybe if the Bechor does it, he gets the inheritance. Everybody else can do it from Yeshua Achim Yagdav, and they don't get the inheritance. Maybe there's a special halacha that oldest gets inheritance. Dr. Gemara, Amar Kra Yochum Hashem Achav, Arikam. The Torah says Yochum Hashem Achav. He inherits his brother by doing Yibum. Whoever did Yibum gets it. it is no reason to say that Nachla only goes to one brother, not the other. Whoever does evil should get Nachla.
So according to Bias, there is a peck, he also holds that, but if someone goes out of war, it still works?
Yes.
No one argues on that.
Rashi, the Mishnah said, Mitzvah begod liyam, kad makat nzoch. Rashi, but yishko Nachla, tabok zarksiv. So why did the Torah call him Bechor? If it means older, and there's no special rights to Bechor that he gets any more than any other brother, so why did the Torah use the word? It's to diminish his rights. Meaning, meaning like this. When dad dies, oldest gets Pishnayim. But back in Baba Basra we learned that he only gets Pishnayim and what's available at the time of death. Anything that's outstanding that comes in later, Bechor only gets an equal share. The outstanding loans or whatever else or everything else that might come down the pipeline later, that a Bechor has no right more than his other brothers. Whatever is available at the time of death, the Bechor gets Pishnayim. Now, when Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and let's say Levi dies without children, and Shimon did Yibum. Now, when the father dies, Yaakov, Shimon inherits not only his share, but Levi's share. He is now representing Levi. So he's two brothers. He's Shimon and Levi. So he gets a double share based on the fact that he is Shimon and Levi. Now, what's his rights? Now, without this pasuk, you would say, he gets a complete share of Levi's share. He took over Levi's rights. Part of Levi's inheritance is to, like, just like if Levi died and had children, his children would inherit whatever Levi would have inherited. Same thing here. Shimon became Levi, and therefore Shimon inherits whatever Levi would have inherited. Comes along the Torah and says, only what's available at the time of death of the father does Shimon get Levi's share. Whatever comes into father later, Shimon will not have a right to take Levi's share. He would have to share it with his brothers. Let me explain. Yaakov dies. He leaves $1 million over. That's here now. He also has another $500,000 outstanding. That's going to come in later. Reuben the Bechor gets... there's four brothers, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Let's say nobody died. Each one is entitled to 250, but we don't say that. We say Reuben gets 400, and every other brother gets 200, because Reuben gets Pishnayim. However, out of the 500 that comes in later, Reuben gets no double share. Four brothers split it evenly, and each one gets 125. Okay, let's make believe that there was no Bechor, just to make it easier. Let's say there was an older sister, so Reuben is not a Bechor. And there's Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. Levi dies without children. Shimon did Yibum. Yaakov dies, leaves $1 million over. Nobody's getting Pishnayim. Shimon comes and says, Rabbi Sai, I am Shimon and I am Levi. I did Yibum to Levi's wife. I get Levi's rights. I get 500. I get Pishnayim. I get two shares. Meaning, I get Levi's and mine. And Reuben and Yehuda get yours. So there's four brothers. There's no Bechor, let's say. We'll take Bechor out of the picture. And Shimon is entitled to his share and Levi's share, so he gets 500, and the other ones each get 250. Then the 500 comes in later. There Shimon cannot come and say, I am Shimon and Levi. Torah said, V'hoya Bechor. Just like a Bechor doesn't get in the future speech Nayim, Shimon's right to be himself Levi, to be Levi himself, it doesn't apply. When it comes there, we make believe Levi doesn't exist, and Shimon and Reuben and Yehuda split the 500 equally.
Why should he be stronger than Bechor?
What?
Why should he be stronger than Bechor?
He takes over Levi. He's Levi.
He has
Levi's right. He's two people. But he did give him to Levi's wife, and the Torah said he takes over Levi's inheritance. Part of the inheritance is the right to inherit that.
So what happens talking with Levi's thing? Since he's in the Kever, he doesn't have...
No, so it goes equally to all brothers. So Levi has no right in futures. Since he died, and it's... meaningless. If Levi would have left children, they would have gotten Levi's share in everything. They would have taken over Levi 100%.
So this new baby is not his baby, obviously.
No baby now. Forget about baby.
I get it. I'm saying if he had a child with his
that's nothing to do with Levi.
Shimon
took over Levi. Dr. Tyra, Shimon only takes over Levi for what's here now, when the father dies. Any future that comes into the father's thing, Shimon does not get Levi's chus in that future. And that's why the Torah says Habchor, to limit the Yerusha in Yaakov. In Yaakov, to only what's there at the time Yaakov dies, not to give him any right in what comes in later. That's how Rashi learns. Not Rashi. Elamai hilchasakari b'char. Lichtim God b'char ein enaytul chelik b'chayram. Benach lo haroi lover lehemachem misa saviyam. The b'char does not get the chelik b'chayram. And the nachlo that comes posthumously after the father died. Elam b'mashem muhzik b'yaraviyam b'yay b'yay. Only what the father has. The sibcha ha-shimotulay. Af yavam hanoytul pishnayim b'nichse aviv. The yavam who represents his father, his brother, when they inherit, he takes his chelik and the brother who died, does not get what's going to come in later. That's Rashi's pshat. So let me repeat Rashi's pshat because I'm going to speak out another pshat in the middle between Tzimachleik and Sabayiskim. Again, Shimon died, Levi died. When Yaakov dies, Shimon comes to the brothers and says, I am Shimon and I am Levi. The Torah said I take Levi's spot. I inherit him. I inherit whatever Levi has. I inherit whatever Levi has a right to. Just like his kid would have inherited him, I inherit him. I'm his brother. I took Yibum. So now Shimon gets two shares in Yaakov's chelik. Gets two shares. He's two brothers. Zok the Torah only what Yaakov has. Whatever comes in later, there the Torah does not give Shimon exclusive rights. And therefore, even though Shimon took over Levi, in Yaakov's things that come after Yaakov dies, Levi doesn't exist. Reuben, Shimon, and Yehuda split it evenly. That's,
where's the Bechor here?
The Torah is comparing a Yavam to a Bechor in his right to inherit his dad.
Get up when you pull up.
What was the habit?
You wake up and you stop.
Yes, even Roy.
I mean, if you would have asked me, I would have said Shimon takes over Levi. What happens if Levi dies and leaves a child? And then Yaakov dies. No, Bechor, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Levi died, left over a son. And then Yaakov died. What does Levi's son get? Gets a portion in his father's Yerusha, in Yaakov's Yerusha, as if he's Levi. He gets a portion of what's there. He gets a portion of what comes later.
He gets from his grandfather?
Yeah, he's his son's son, of course.
His father's not here.
His father's not here. He took over his father. That's not halacha. It's a Mishnah in Baba Basra.
There's other
Baba Basra.
Yeah.
Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Levi dies and leaves a child. A son, a daughter, makes no difference.
So he gets his father's stuff, yeah.
That means when Yaakov dies now, the grandfather dies.
Right.
Levi inherits in the grave to pass it on to his children.
I didn't know that.
It's a Mishnah in Baba Basra.
But I learned.
Yeah, Tzlafchad's daughters inherited Tzlafchad's share in Hefer's Yerusha. Remember that?
I thought that's because it's to show us that girls are also.
That's to inherit Tzlafchad. How about in Hefer's Yerusha? Yeah, it's a Mishnah Baba Basra. Maybe we should chazer Baba Basra.
We have to chazer everything.
You
want to do Baba Basra with that? That's fine. I don't care.
This to me is a Kiddush.
You've
never heard
the Yerusha Kever? No, I thought.
You know what that means?
Yeah, so now everyone's arguing, what's fighting now?
So now, if Levi would have a son, he would get 100% of Levi's rights. Shimon did Yibum. Does he get 100% of Levi's rights or not? So without this fussing, I would say yes. The Torah made Shimon be Levi. So just like Levi would get 100% of his rights, Shimon gets 100% of Levi's rights. Just like Levi's son would get it, Shimon gets it.
100%, that's true, right?
No. The Torah know that Shimon will not get Levi's rights in what Yaakov didn't have at the time of his death.
That's like a before.
stuff that Yaakov gets later, the Torah does not give to Shimon. That's why the Torah called it Bechor. That's Rashi's shot. Other Paiskim can want to take it a step further. And they say when Shimon inherits Levi, forget about Yaakov, and Levi has outstanding loans, Shimon doesn't have a right to those outstanding loans. A much bigger Kiddush. Levi died. Levi left $1 million, and he had $500,000 in outstanding loans. Shimon does Yibum, he's entitled to $1 million, all by himself. He inherits Levi. But those $500,000 that come in later, that the Torah doesn't give the Yavam. The Torah says he doesn't even get Roy, not only in Yaakov's things, in Levi's things he doesn't get Roy.
So
according to those Paiskim, then all brothers would split that $500,000 equally. Shimon would not have a right. So this is Machlokes HaPaiskim. Rashi says he doesn't get a right in Yaakov's Roy, but in Levi's he gets total. Other Rishonim say, no, that V'haya B'chor says that Shimon's right in Levi is like a B'chor rights to his father. He gets only what's there, not outstanding. Anything outstanding comes in, all brothers split evenly. Let me explain. What happens if Shimon wouldn't do Yibum, we do Chalitza? All brothers would split it evenly. Right? There's no son. All brothers would split it evenly. So for the futures, we treat Levi's possessions as all brothers equally. That's what other Paiskim say.
So dead is considered a future?
What?
A is considered a age.
So that's a Shailam Baba Basra. I said yes for argument's sake.
Hashem.
No, seriously, Hashem does. If there is someone, the rabbi.
Who bears you?
Because it was a man on Baba Basra or this. I mean, you have to know. I don't know. I didn't know the mission.
I apologize.
Sorry,
Rebbe? Are you
Michael? The Rebbe does it, it's fine. It's
from
my counterpart's
story,
you know what I
mean? Pastor Sean, I didn't mean to embarrass you.
Rebbe, you're the last person I'm worried about embarrassing you. Rebbe, the climate, but it's the same.
Yes.
According
to the Rebbe, then he gets Yaakov's futures also?
No! No! They just say he doesn't even get Levi's futures.
But why does one take out the other?
It doesn't. Yaakov's futures he doesn't get. The question is, does he get Levi's own futures? Rashi's matzmi, yes.
So meaning the second shot means he doesn't get futures in either of them.
Period, exactly. I only mention him because it's a machlokes.
You know, I like that new second shot better.
Thank you.
Sabra, that the kid ain't going to... Before we say the father, the grandfather died after the kid. It
right. Right.
Happen, like,
right, correct.
What's the good?
Zakti Mishnah Vayter. Did anybody have a question on the phone? I was busy here, I didn't hear, so I heard somebody ask something.
I don't know, I'm not sure you told me.
I guess not. Zakti Mishnah Vayter. Hanitan ala Shivcha v'nishtachara. There was a rumor around, we'll name him Reuven, was engaged in an illicit relationship with a maidservant. It doesn't have to be his maidservant, a maidservant. A Shibcha Knanis, right, who when she becomes free becomes a Jewish lady. And there's a rumor around that Reuven is messing around with this Shibcha. And then she became free. Or there's a rumor around that Reuven is messing around with a Geisha lady and then she became a Geiris. Harazelo Yechnais. We tell Reuven, do not marry her. Because even though you know, you claim to know, that the rumor is not true, that you never did anything illicit with her, but the bottom line is people are saying it is, and when you marry her, it's going to reinforce the truth of the rumor. And we don't want that. We don't want that. And therefore, don't marry her. But if a guy married her, we're not going to break up the marriage. Because even if the rumor is true, he didn't do an Avera. Now, by marrying her, we don't want to reinforce a rumor. We don't want to give credence to the rumor that he was messing around with this glacial lady. And then she was Megayer and he marries her. We don't want to give that credibility. But if he marries her, we're not going to break up the marriage. Rashi. Hanitin Choshet. Klaimer. Shetayin Olav Divrei Laz. They're saying rumors about him. lo yisenu mishum lad shlo yomru emet hayakai l'rishin. And the mashal says, the guy's saying, listen, I know it's not true. I did not mess around with her. He's not admitting to the rumor. He's saying, I know it's not true. Still, we tell, look, Rabbi, listen, Rabid, you're reinforcing a rumor if you marry her. Don't marry her. But if you marry her, we don't make up the marriage. There's nothing wrong with this marriage.
What's considered a rumor?
The Gemara is going to talk about it a little bit. A rumor. Meaning, exactly what's considered a rumor, the Gemara is going to give guidelines to rumors. But the Gemara says it has to last a day and a half. The Gemara is going to give some guidelines to rumors. Rumors, you know, we all know what rumors are, unfortunately. Hanitan al-Eishas-Ish. Now, Rashi explains it like one of the Pshatim in the Gemara. That a guy is accused of an Eishas-Ish, but this is more than just an accusation of a rumor. Edim substantiate this. And they say that Ruvay messed around with an Eishas-Ish. Vaitziyu mitachas yaday. And Bethan made the husband divorce his wife. They told hubby, your wife was Mizana, you gotta divorce her. Habashir Kanas, and then Ruvain marries her, Yaitzi, we break up the marriage. Because Ruvain is not allowed to marry her. Because we learn out from Sukkim that just like she's usher to her husband if she's Mizana, she's usher to the person she was Mizana with. And therefore, that is a illegal marriage.
Only made on her, though?
What?
They weren't made on him.
They said he but there was no, with this woman.
But there was no Raya.
It was Adam.
Oh, there were Adam. It says Hanitan. It doesn't say.
Get it. The Gemara is going to have two Pshatim. The way Rashi explains the Mishnah is two witnesses came and substantiated this claim that he was Mizana with an Eishes.
Oh, it was substantial because the Raisha doesn't sound like that.
Right, exactly.
So you're learning the ratio different than the Sefer.
Right.
Okay, all right.
Gemara's going to get into this, so I'm going to leave it for the Gemara.
Yeah, okay, but I didn't see that from the difference in the ratio of the Sefer.
Yeah, the Gemara's going to get into the ratio of the Sefer when
okay.
we get there.
All right. Okay, fine. All right, good. Good.
The answer to you, Corey, is that there was no Hasra. Nobody warned him.
Yeah.
Rashi. Hanitan al-Eishas-Ish, Vaitziyu Bezim, Mitzvakos Baila, Mishul Zesha Asra Olav. Because this guy that asks the wife to her husband. She's biblically prohibited from marrying that person. Frekti Gemara, going back on the Reisha. Hagiyaris Miyazaba. We're not questioning the legitimacy of her Geiris. There's an accusation that Reuven messed around with a Geisha lady, and then she became a Jewish lady. So we're saying he shouldn't marry her. And if he marries her, it's fine. It doesn't say she might not be Jewish. We're not questioning the legitimacy of the Geiris. We're just saying, don't substantiate the rumor. Don't give it credence. Mashma is a Jewish lady. She's a legitimate Jewish lady. Nobody's questioning the legitimacy of the Kedushin. Right? Vermini. I'll ask your contradiction. Echadishin is Gaya Lushamisha. A man that's Megayer in order to marry a woman. Vakadishin is Gaya Lushamish. And a woman that's Megayer to marry a man. Vakemishin is Gaya Lushim Shulchim Alachim. Somebody that's Megayer because he's promised to be part of a royal family. How does he translate Shulchim Alachim?
King's table.
What? King's table. Meaning, there's money on the other side. Lushim Avde Shleima. He can be Shleima Melech. Eved, which means these people are very powerful. It's worth becoming Jewish to make all that money. Einam geirim, divrei Nechemya. That's not legitimate. So Einam Nechemya Eimer, Echad geir arayis, where the people get geirim because of fear. Echad geir chaloymus, they get dreams to tell them to become Jewish. Echad geir Mordechai b'Esther, and people that ran became Jewish in the time of Mordechai b'Esther. Einam geirim, achi is geirim b'smanazeh. They're not geirim unless they're geirim today, frankly, b'smanazeh. Sankadaitach, what? Only today we accept geirim? In the past we didn't? Elayim ekim b'smanazeh. When things are tough. People that are geirim when things are great for Jews, that's not a legitimate geirim. People that are geirim when being Jewish is not such a great idea, that's a good geirim. So, here is a woman It says clearly, being Megari for the sake of marriage is not a Geras. Here's a woman that was Megari and we're afraid. Right? There's a question here. Whether she was Megari because she was messing around with this Yid and she wants to marry him. And nobody seems to question the Geras. The Mishnah just says don't marry her. Zogti Gemara, Itmar Lomer, Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marsa, Mishmei Derav, Halacha Kedivrei Ayim Mekulam Gerim. We don't baskin that way. We baskin to legitimate Geras, regardless of why a person's Megaya. Whether we accept them or not, whether we try to deter them, that's one thing. But if they're Megaya, it's a Geras. And that's how we baskin. A person that becomes a Ger for ulterior motives is a Ger. The Rambam says, interesting, the Rambam baskins, that a ger that becomes a ger for ulterior motives, we watch them to see whether they're really acting Jewish. He's a ger, but we're very wary of him or her. But if they keep on acting Jewish, then they're real Yid. If they don't, like we have them on a semi, they're gerim, they're Jewish, but we keep on watching them to see how legitimate their Kabbalah's mitzvahs really was.
And if it turns out they're not...
I don't know what he does.
But
I guess he's just saying, be wary. But it's a good Geras.
Yeah, but I understand.
We don't pass on from the Chenya. So therefore, our mission is right. We're not worried about the Geras.
But forget about Shifcha, a regular girl who has rumors about, and he...
A Jewish girl.
A guy, and it's a rumor, a foolish rumor. And we let the guy marry her with a chila. Forget about Gary. I'm not interested in Gary. Oh, it's dumb. There's a rumor in the Jewish
That's
news.
Probably the best thing you should do.
Well, why are we jumping to Gary and ship a regular Jewish girl?
Yeah, we would let him marry her.
Would we?
Yeah.
We would?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Okay, I'm going to shock you. Should I send the shock through your system? What is there did the person commit by living with a Jewish girl out of wedlock?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's the iser?
Mm-hmm.
Chil Hashem.
Again, is there a lav?
She's
not a nida, obviously she's a nida, it's karis. Okay, we'll have to continue, Mr. Shem. Tomorrow, everybody, have a wonderful day.